All right, brothers and sisters, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll begin our reading at verse 6 to verse 9. It's found page 1124 in your pew Bibles, 1124 in your pew Bibles. And of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 was a theme verse for this year. Be a blessing, right, ladies? Right? To be a blessing. But we'll read a little bit of the context of the verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and again we'll begin our reading at verse 6 to verse 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. This is God's word. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we ask that as we study this portion of Scripture, that you would bless your people to be a blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was going to ask the gems, what is a blessing? But you stole my thunder. So, oh well, that's okay. That is okay. But let's come to that text. Here we find that the Apostle Paul, who's writing to a church that is in great need, and he's telling about another church that is in greater need, the church of Jerusalem, and there's an offering that needs to be made, and so he's writing to the church at Corinth, in the midst of their own difficulties, to give generously from the heart. Because, as we see, God loves a cheerful giver. Because there are others in need. Or he's saying, be a blessing. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul is saying, ladies? Be a blessing. I think he is. And I think if you look at verse 8 specifically, just focus on verse 8, you can separate this verse into three parts. Power, sufficient, service. Power, God is able, sufficient, having all that you need, and service, abounding in every good work. Well, let's get to the power part. Let's get to the power part, ladies. God is able. Did you see that in your Bible? That God is able, and what is he able to do? To make all grace abound to you. Now, the word that you see there, grace, in some of the newer translations has bless. But it is very clear that the power of God, God's power, blesses. And what blessings have you experienced? You gems, ladies, and us as a congregation. The blessing of salvation. That's why we're here, because of God's power broke in to the world through Jesus Christ and saved us. And what else is there? Well, there's the blessing of new birth. That's right, when you become a Christian, you get a new heart. You are born again. But there's also the blessing of, well, the blessing of adoption. Where we cry out, Abba, Father. Whose power is that? That's God's power, right? God's blessing. He says to you, my daughters, and for you gentlemen, my sons, is that not God's power at work in you? Where we cry out, Abba, Father? And what other blessings do we see in our lives? Well, there's the blessing of the fruit of the Spirit. Do you remember the fruit of the Spirit? Well, there are a few, aren't there? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And where do those fruits come from? Where do the fruits come from, ladies? From God, right? From God the Holy Spirit. It's His power who is able to make all grace abound to you. Or to make you rich, as the word also could be translated, abound. And the blessing of spiritual gifts we see very clearly. As Paul's writing the church, well, he had three letters that he wrote to church. We have letter one and letter three. They're called 1 and 2 Corinthians, if you're in England. Here we have 1 and 2 Corinthians. So it depends on what side of the pond you live by how you say these books. But this is what Paul writes to the church in Corinth in his first letter. He says in chapter 1, verse 4, I always thank God for you because of his grace given. You in Christ Jesus, for in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. The Apostle Paul is saying, well, I see very evidently the power of God in you, that God is able to give you all spiritual gifts that are necessary for the thriving and the upbuilding of the Church of Jesus Christ in Corinth. You already have the gifts because you have that Spirit who gives the gifts. And again, God is blessing His church. He is blessing His church with spiritual gifts, fruit of the Spirit, adoption, new birth, salvation, and we can go on and on. Heaven, the resurrection of the body from the dead. And I think we can mention a couple other thousand. Not only that, there's the physical gifts that we experience every day. How many times does your heart beat? And you breathe. And your mom serves you for some reason. Girls, does your mom serve you? Oh, yeah. You know what they call that? A blessing from God. Oh, yeah. Don't you forget that. I would think your mom would want you not to forget that. That is also a blessing from God. God has given you your moms and your dads. And God wants His people to see, not only in Corinth, but right here in 2nd, whether you're 8 or 80, that the blessing of God's abounding grace is the source of our joyful blessing of others. For us to be true spiritual blessings, more than just giving out candy, kids, for us to be abounding or richly blessing other people, we must first know that we are richly blessed by God. Because if you do not know how richly blessed you are by God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the new birth of the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells you, you are missing the source of your power to bless others. Because actually, blessing others is because you have already been blessed. Remember, Jesus, who was rich, and He was quite rich, right? I mean, He created everything, has always existed. And He was full of joy and full of life, came to this world and became what? He became poor. He became like you and I. He was born to Mary and Joseph in poverty so that you would become rich. And how poor did Jesus get? How poor did He become? He died for you, didn't He? On the cross. He was broken and His blood was shed so that He would bless you with blessings that will never end. Candy will go through your body and it will end, right? But the blessing of God in Jesus Christ is a blessing that can never end, can it? It can never end. It can never be taken away. It lasts for all eternity. That should get us excited. Should it not? So that we would be about blessing others? That's the root of our being a blessing, is that we experience and know the reality of God's blessing upon us in Jesus Christ. Amen. And we must never lose sight of that. That's that's the reason Paul can proclaim so clearly, God loves a cheerful giver. He loves one who gives because his delight is in God, because his worth is in God, because his eternity is in God, because his all is in God through Jesus Christ, his Son, by the power of the Spirit. And as you look at the text carefully, you will notice a lot of all, and every, which they're basically all, and all. Five alls in one verse. It's almost like that Paul's giving you the gravity of the reality of God is able to make all grace abound to you. God is able to make all blessings abound to you. He is able. In all circumstances, in all times, in all places, he is able to bless his people. He is able. You have that word, as he says, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And that need is a word of sufficient or sufficiency or contentment. And the Apostle Paul is a good teacher in this regard. As he's waiting for his execution, as he's writing the church at Philippi, his circumstances weren't the best. Chained to an ugly Roman guard, waiting for the decision whether to live or to die. And this is what he says in his chains. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. What's Paul saying? Jesus is enough. Isn't he saying that? Jesus is sufficient to meet all your needs. Whether in need or in plenty, Jesus is enough. Whether in poverty, in suffering, in prosperity, Jesus is enough. God will always bless his people enough what they need. And it might be in that moment that you are not experiencing that at all. But Paul is very clear that he has learned contentment through the many sufferings and trials he has experienced. He has learned to say, Jesus is enough. God's blessing of Christ in his life is enough. And when you look at any brother and sister who has gone through suffering, especially, you find in that suffering saint a person who gives glory to God. I think you see that in Paul so clearly. And I love what Paul says about the difficulties and the struggles and the successes of the Christian life when he writes to the church again right here in this letter, chapter 4, verse 15. And he says this in the midst as people are suffering and will one day die. He says this, all this is for your benefit. Suffering. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. God's blessing upon us, even in the midst of suffering, is for his glory. And the Apostle Paul is saying that his suffering is advancing the gospel.
Actually, some of his greatest letters that we are reading today were in the midst of his imprisonment. His suffering and persecution and imprisonment actually spread the gospel. It did not hinder the gospel. What Paul learned in the midst of his imprisonment is that Jesus is sufficient, even in prison, to spread his word to the ends of the earth. And through those letters, the Apostle Paul, by the power of the Spirit and the Spirit's working in the church, has continued to spread that word. And that came from his suffering. From his suffering. God was sufficient to not only meet his needs, but to meet the needs of countless millions and millions of men and women who would be called to Jesus Christ through those same letters, like Ephesians, Colossians, Timothy, Titus, and others. If there's something that the apostle wants to say, again, it is, God's blessing in Jesus Christ is enough, girls. The whole world wants you to chase after stuff and things that will not matter, that will be disposed as quickly as the candy is dissolving in your mouth right now. But Christ is for time and for eternity. He will last forever. His kingdom will never pass away, and his love will never fade. No, his love is forever. Oh, may you always say that God's blessing to me in Jesus Christ is enough, because it is enough to save sinners like you and like me, and to abound in us even in suffering, which you will experience, ladies. As many of the saints around you who are gathered here today have experienced, that Jesus is enough. Is he not, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he not sufficient to meet all your needs in suffering? He is. He is enough. And oh, how I believe in Jesus is enough. Your heart will bubble over in joy to serve your King. It will flow out of you. And that's why the Apostle Paul will say this: you will. Did you hear the language? You will. It doesn't say maybe. I hope so. Maybe later. No, you will abound in every good work. Because God has abounded his grace in you, you will abound in every good work. I like that. That's quite positive. We love positivity in the modern world. It can't get more positive than that. That's God positive. He will do every good work. And that word abounding is richly, richly, richly. You know what the living God wants from his church? A church that is rich in giving blessing to the world and to others. And what is the greatest riches that you can share with the world? Tell me, what's the greatest riches that you can say share with the world tonight, tomorrow, on the commute, on the conversation with your son or daughter, your uncle and aunt? What is it? Jesus, man, that's good. All right. Excellent. We are awake. But it's Christ. I love how the apostle, though, gives us a context when he talks about abounding in every good work. It's not only to give Christ and his message, but verse 9, as it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. And that comes from Psalm 112, verse 9. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn, his power, his strength, God is able. Anytime you see horn, that's God's strength, will be lifted high in honor. So at least you can see very clearly right here
is that the apostle is calling the church of Jesus Christ not only to the wondrous service of testifying to the reality and the truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected, but he's saying to the church, care for the poor. Care for the poor. Love the downtrodden. And he is very clear when he writes to the church in Ephesus that this workmanship, God's workmanship, I love that language, when God took your dead heart and made it alive, he was crafting his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God had prepared in advance for us to do. It is very clear for the Apostle Paul that the church of Jesus Christ is to do good works. Not only the good works of the proclamation of the gospel, but the good work of caring for the poor. Titus chapter 2 verse 14 says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. And here is the language, eager to do what is good. And so those who have been redeemed, those who have been born again, those who have the joy of the Lord bubbling up from within them because of the wondrous riches of Jesus Christ, are eager to do what? Good works. Didn't you have 75 gifts to give people? That's true, right? You made 75 bags to give to people who were in need, to give to the poor, because we as Christians are eager to do good works. Well, ladies, the hour is upon us. And so the question is for you, since you have this wondrous riches in Jesus, since you are girls that are adopted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? And you're spiritually loaded, okay? Spiritually wealthy. How are we going to be a blessing this week? Let's start at the home. How are you going to be a blessing in your home? When your mom says, hey, could you do this for me? Can you take out the trash? Could you set the table? Could you load the dishwasher? What will be your response? Or, yes, mom. Oh, that's right. You are eager to do good works, and one of the greatest works you can do is actually to listen to your mom and dad. Why aren't you giving me thumbs up, girls? Come on. There should be super happy faces to be eager, right, in doing good works. I'm helping you out, moms and dads, okay? I'm helping you here. Oh, here's a good work. What do you do when your brother is irritating you on the commute and you want to choke him? Oh, that's right. We're getting to the nitty-gritty here, right? How many have a brother that drives them crazy? Okay. I knew that would be a good one because I got it from Nikki. So what should be your response to your brother if you're going to abound in every good work? Well, I'll let you answer that. How about at school? How are you to abound in every good work when you're in school and you're learning from the teacher? What does that mean in class? Are you to talk to your friend over here and pass messages back and forth? Or are you to be attentive to the teacher, listening to everything she says so that you can maximize your educational, experience? That's what it should be. Or how about on the playground? Maybe you've had this too, where you see somebody that's sort of left out. There's always somebody like that. And you tend to want to hang out with your friends because that's your group. If you're abounding in every good work, are you just going to stay in your group and keep other people out? Is that how it's going to work? Because I know that happens. No, right? You see, when we're abounding in every good work, we want to befriend people. We want them to experience the blessing of God. We don't want to have our little groups or our little cliques, our little special teams. No, we want to have hearts that are open to all different kinds of other boys and girls on the playground so that we might abound in every good work. Well, the hour is here, and I have been told we have lots of things coming. There's a display for us to see. And I think it's time to bow our heads in prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh, Father in heaven, you have blessed us with all the spiritual blessings of heaven. We are these new creations, created new by the power of the Holy Spirit because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because he who was rich became poor so that we would become rich. And oh, how rich we are. We have the riches of eternal life, the riches of the resurrection, and we have the riches of your presence right now with us. Oh, Father, we ask that the riches of your grace would abound in us, that we would be a blessing to others. May it spill out from our lips and our lives, that you would be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.